Welcome back, everybody, to Ladies of Leet. This is episode 98, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I'm Kim.
I am Stephanie.
And this week, we're going to talk about BioShock Burial at Sea Part 2. We're actually going to have some spoilers at the very, very end. So we won't talk spoilers during the show. We'll talk, if you want to hear all of our thoughts on the whole BioShock franchise, stay till after the show. Elder Scrolls Online, Goat Simulator. I can't say it without laughing. and Infamous Second Son. Do we not have any iPhone games to talk about?
I don't have any.
I don't either. I'm kind of in an iPhone slump here. So
Well, I've been still playing that silly poker game.
The Jawfish one?
Yeah.
I thought you stopped playing it. Oh.
I did, but then I was like, I saw it here. I'm like, oh, I'm going to try it again. And then I won like $1 million on it. And I was like, cool. I'll play some more.
I forgot. Speaking of poker, I've been playing Poker Night 2 on the PC.
Right? Oh, cool.
Yeah. I kind of pick up a game here and there when I'm downloading and patching Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Elder Scrolls Online, Stephanie, you played a lot of the beta, didn't you?
Yes. See,
I didn't play any of the beta.
So I played, I only played like a weekend of the beta.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not out officially until tomorrow, right?
Yep. Right. So early access was 5 days?
5 days. I pre-ordered it 5 days ago.
Yep.
And
did you order it on the day?
Yeah. Because Mark and I, we were looking for something to play. And Mark's kind of bored of WoW right now. And he's been playing a lot of Skyrim. And I said, hey, you know, if we pre-order, we get early access. He's like, really? I'm like, okay, well, we went ahead and downloaded it and installed it. It was interesting because I bought from Amazon and he bought directly from Bethesda, and he got all of his in-game bonuses immediately, and I only got one in-game bonus, and I'm like, where the hell's my pet? I will say this, their support system of how they verify who you are is jacked up. Like, because I wrote them, and I said, because, you know, they're priding themselves of having real people and to support you and all this. So I get this message from Logan, and he says, to help you, I need your name, your first name, your last name, your birth date, the answer to your secret code. And I'm like, really? You need all that information just to help me? Don't I have an account? And I wrote him back, and I'm like, fine, I'll give it to you. But just FYI, I think your system is totally insecure.
Yes.
And he didn't help me at all. And it comes to find out, Mark ended up Googling the answer. So anybody that bought through Amazon, they don't get all their in-game stuff until the actual launch day.
I'm like, really?
Hey, gotcha. Jackass Logan, why couldn't you just said that?
Yeah, right?
And I know he listens to it. So Logan, come on.
Right.
Yeah, because I got all my in-game stuff because I pre-ordered it straight from Bethesda from them.
Yeah.
So
is it Bethesda? I mean, it's Bethesda and another company that's making this game, because it's not a true, like, what Skyrim, you know, Bethesda made Skyrim. It's like a company, another, kind of like with the Call of Duty series, there was two, like, development.
Yeah, the Treyarch and then the other one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it's the Skyrim world created by this, I want to keep on saying Minimax, but it's not that company. I can't remember the name.
So what are your first thoughts? I mean, what did you think?
Oh, gosh. I'm having...
So first, what are you playing? What is your...
I don't even know. Reason? I just know that I'm a Templar. To be honest with you, I was pretty overwhelmed by all the choices.
Yes.
And, I'm Imperial. I'm Imperial too. Because it's the bonus. I'm like, well, might as well just do that one. The way that you, one of the recommendations I read was if you pick your type, so you can be a Templar, You can be like a caster mage, or there's like four that you can pick from, like a rogue type, Templar, which is like a paladin type. Shit, I should have put a broad my notes on this. I didn't even
think,
I do a podcast on gaming. And I didn't even think to write notes down. But anyway, I chose paladin, so I just went with the Templar, okay. And from there, then I kind of went back to the first tab. And then said, okay, Imperial. And then you pick your kind of race. And I don't know. I picked a girl to look like she's been in a rainstorm.
That's the way you should. That's the way you should. Well, see, I picked the cat lady because I like the cat. I was playing the cat. Yeah, in the last one. And I went through all the options to change all her stuff. And I'm like, she doesn't really look that much different. So I just like, okay, randomize it because I don't really care.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was. I was like, I don't really care.
Seriously, like 90% of the time you'll be wearing a helmet, you won't ever see their face.
Well, you can disable the helmet, though.
Yeah. Most people don't, though.
Yeah.
You spend half an hour designing your character, slap a helmet on, then you're like, oh, what did I look like? I forgot.
I do have a really cool dragon tattoo on my back, but I'll never see it, right?
Exactly, right? That's like you go naked, run through the streets.
Running around, woohoo! So I'm curious, because both of you loved Skyrim. I missed the window. I missed the boat on that one because of the timing of it and the birth of my son. Right. I really missed playing it. So I tried to get into it, and I was playing too much Fallout New Vegas.
Yep.
At the time. And it just didn't stick to me.
Well, but and those cool are, I mean, honestly, you go down into some of the shelters or the places in Fallout. Mm-hmm. They look a lot like the caves in Skyrim.
Right.
Really,
it's a very similar experience, except it's a fantasy world versus a post-apocalyptic world.
And the whole, crashing thing. Skyrim didn't crash on me that much on the PC. Mm-hmm. PS3 did.
So I'm curious from your perspectives, because I'm going into Elder Scrolls Online kind of fresh. Not really. Right. I've never really played any of the other Elder Scrolls games. Mark, on the other hand, has played, I think, all of them. Oblivion. I remember him playing hell of Oblivion. And he's really enjoying the Elder Scrolls Online. I am too. It is a beautiful game, full of rich detail. Just zooming in on the flowers and the animals, and I'm like, wow, it's just really a visually nice game.
So that's interesting, because I've also seen stuff online that people have been saying, God, it doesn't look as good as Skyrim. What's up? You know?
Exactly.
Maybe it's because I'm playing it on a doghouse.
and that might have something to do with it, of course. Yeah. But also, Skyrim, that's a big, big game.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you've got an MMO to put the big game of Skyrim and all that little bits and bots. Mm-hmm. It would make Elder Scrolls Online huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be enormous. You just can't do that.
Well, it's funny because Mark, even on Elder Scrolls, on Skyrim, he was applying some mods to like make the plants look better.
Yes.
I don't feel like I need to do that with Elder Scrolls Online at all. Like, I don't feel like I need to.
Well, when I played the beta of Elder Scrolls Online, I was not impressed.
Really?
There was nothing about it that made me want to play it. Nothing.
Well, how early did you play it?
I was mid beta.
Did they have the voice acting and stuff then, or was it still the robots?
It was partway. Like part of it, I could get the voice, and then it just defaulted to robot talk once you got past a certain point. But yeah, actually playing the beta made me not want to play this game. I was like, not the Skyrim that I played. This is not what I want to play. Really, it didn't rock my boat.
I do like how, as I'm questing, everything is spoken to me. So, like, I can just like in the game, in Skyrim and in Fallout, you talk to people and you go into this dialogue zone and they speak to you, and the text is on the side. So as they're speaking, I'm kind of hearing what they're saying and also reading ahead. And so I can go click, 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 click. Okay.
So I was just having this discussion with someone the other day about the whole mechanic in MMOs of getting quests done, mm-hmm. right? Because you're either completely into the story and want to hear everything they have to say, or you're really just, can I move on? Can I just get my quest and go and
That's
kill my 10 things and come
WoW.
Back?
I never right? read it in WoW.
Yeah, exactly. So I never read it in WoW. Don't read it in Rift. You know, didn't read it in Star Wars Online. So we were debating who did it best, and the best I can come up with so far is Borderlands. I start the quest, I can walk away, I can get in a car, and they'll still keep talking to me, still give me the quest.
That's true.
I can be on my way. Yeah. I don't need to sit there and hear the I can just go.
That's
what
that's
I want.
True. Same way in BioShock, it was like that too.
Yeah, exactly. But in Guild Wars 2, that's part of the thing that just dragged it for me. Like, I'm out doing my thing. I'm killing stuff. I'm leveling up. Bam. Oh, it's time for a quest. Oh, now I got to sit and listen to this guy give me a speech about three generations of people I don't really give a crud about
right.
just to give me a quest so I can go on my way. I mean, it really just it stops the momentum for me. And that's
pulls you out of you out
for
of-
some people. I'm sure it's very immersive and they like that. But right. when my goal is to level a character, I'm probably really not that interested in the minutiae of what you're trying to get across to me.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe that's why I feel like I'm falling asleep as I'm playing.
But that's what this one does when you go into that zone. I like that it does that, mm-hmm. but I can see that after a long period of, you know, if you're questing like if you're on there for 4 hours, you're gonna be like, okay, I'm really tired of this. But
yeah, exactly.
And also I had to like divorce myself from Skyrim completely because this isn't Skyrim.
Right. No,
this is Elder Scrolls,
right.
you
yes.
know, and there's a difference. And so I had to like completely, you know, say, okay, here's Skyrim, put that in that part of the brain and this is Elder Scrolls and enjoy it for what it is. And that's really what I've tried to do with it. And I think it's worked. I'm enjoying it for what it is. And I think the voice acting is really, really good in it.
I think so,
I think
too.
They did a good job with that.
I do like the characters. I like the different, just all the different people I'm meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested
this is,
in
this
the
is
world.
Not subscription-based, right? Like,
no,
we buy the game
is.
And then we're done. Like Guild Wars 2? Or subscription-based?
This is subscription-based.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another... That's
You better rock my socks for me to be paying for another MMO monthly.
Now. And that's I think, honestly, I think that's going to be its downfall.
Yep, I agree.
Because after 30 days, I'm not going to renew. I'm playing this game right now as a game that Mark and I can quest and, you know, have some fun in game for a little while. I still want to go back to WoW. I have so much to do, and I really want to go back into that world again. But I don't know if Elder Scrolls is going to keep me. But I did want to try it out. And the 30 days is sufficient enough for me to kind of give that a try and see what it's all about. I don't know. I just...
So I remember when I first started WoW and I sat down. And granted, I had never played an MMO before WoW. That was my first MMO. But I sat down and my son, you know, showed me a couple of things. And it was like 2 hours later, and he was like, get off the computer now, you know, it's my turn. I have not really gotten that with another MMO. Star Wars, The Old Republic, I think it was different enough, and I liked the story enough of who I played. Mm-hmm. I think I was a bounty hunter, and I enjoyed that story enough that it really sucked me in. Elder Scrolls Online hasn't sucked me in, but I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same place.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people out there really enjoying it. They're more, you know, fantasy-based, enjoying fantasy-based. I would rather play BioShock again.
Yeah.
The first one, BioShock 1, which I am.
Holy cow, I am
playing again.
See, you're going to make me want to play this. I'm going to have to go back and play it now.
This will seriously be like the fifth time I've redone this game, the BioShock 1, because it is fantastic. Yeah.
It totally holds up too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked me that. They were like, but isn't it's kind of old. I said, no, it is fantastic. Still to this day, BioShock 1 is so amazing.
So do we want to move on from Elder Scrolls?
Yes.
I mean, it's a myth. It's a myth for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but yeah, I'm with you. I doubt highly that I'm going to
unless there's something because I'm going to give it a fair shot and play those 30 days through.
Yeah.
There might be something that just changes the whole thing, and I might come back here next week and go, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is why you need to play.
Maybe you get to a certain level, and then you go to a city hub, and you're like, oh, my God, this is a brand new game. But
Right. So
maybe.
Or I think it depends on, I mean, it is an MMO, so it does depend on the group of people.
See, I don't want to play with anybody. I don't want to play with anybody. Except for my husband right now. That's right. Like, and that's how I experienced WoW initially. I didn't really get into raiding until much, much later in my game time. Like, in those early parts of a game, I like a solo experience. And I consider it solo because it's my husband. He's sitting right next to me and I can go, hey, come over here. Or right. Like, even when we're party together, we were off doing other things last night. And I will say that the way that it handles the phased quest. So mm-hmm. when you're grouped together and you complete a quest, your partner has to complete it as well. So you right. will see a totally different person, and I do like the decision-based stuff. So just like in Skyrim and Fallout, you can choose different things. So like there was one quest that I decided to convince the woman to not kill the person, and Mark on the other hand convinced her to kill him.
And like angels on their shoulder,
right?
Don't do it
And so he and I was able to watch his scene and he was able to watch my scene, which was of neat. Nice. So I'm very impressed with how they're handling the grouping and still allowing it to be an individual experience
right.
while grouped. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
So I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
So we all finished the second part of BioShock Infinite's Burial at Sea, the last DLC.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be insanely impossible to talk about this and not spoil. Yeah. And it's just, you know,
without spoilers, how can you talk about it?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I'm today I was sitting here and I'm like, okay, what can I say about this game other than I finished it and I immediately started it over again
right.
because I'm like, okay, I know I've missed things. I want to go back and I want to,
yes.
and also I didn't fully understand
what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so I wanted to go back through and fully. So I played it through twice because it didn't take very long.
I want to play it through again, but I did something different. I finished it.
Right.
I dried my eyes.
Yeah.
And I immediately installed BioShock 1.
BioShock 1.
Worked out the driver issues.
Right.
Because it's like, old game. What's wrong? And then I started, and then I think I'm about halfway through right now, the first episode with a completely different set of eyes. Like that game, though it was released in 2007, feels like a new game to me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the perspective of knowing this story from start to finish. And it's almost like it's an infinite cycle, right?
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, it was so good. I loved it. The story. And I mean, if you're a story-based person and you can look past, if you're not one of those people that goes, well, this time travel story has a loophole here. If you're not one of those types of people, you will enjoy this. But if you get hung up on some of the holes, then it might, it might upset you a little bit. I try to just focus on the big picture. of the story and what they were trying to tell me and not really get caught up on the teeny tiny little details.
Well, right. And that, yeah, the teeny tiny little details. That's like watching Doctor Who and, talking about the time travel and how it doesn't make sense. You just can't do it because it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. Right. So, yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it is. And it didn't bother me at all, the timeline and stuff.
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about that because there's so many revelations and so many questions answered through this whole thing. You're just like, wow, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Steph, you're a huge fan of this franchise. Yes, and
absolutely.
For someone that's played BioShock, did you say 5 times?
Yeah, 5 times.
I definitely need to download the book because now I really.
Oh my God, yes.
I really am in that lore and want to just eat up every bit of it. No.
Exactly. The first book, Rapture, really does take you behind the scenes and really fleshes out the story. What was Andrew Ryan's idea? What was his vision for creating Rapture? How did he actually get the materials out there? Because at the time they were fresh off of the Second World War. So obviously the government was watching a whole lot of materials going offshore and that they would have been suspicious. So there was that whole subterfuge and what are they doing? And here's a little bit of trivia for you. If you wanted to live in Rapture, you had to give up all of your money and turn it into Andrew Ryan dollars.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, essentially,
it was a
one-way trip.
Yeah.
You could never leave.
That's right. In BioShock Infinite, when you're at Fink's, you pick up a little audio file that talks about you can use Andrew dollars in the store.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That makes sense.
So, Andrew Ryan had this idea that he would build the perfect city, but how could you do that when literally no one can leave?
Right.
And all of the money goes to him. I mean, he was obviously building the infrastructure and whatnot, but, it's not a perfect system, and he didn't build it that way. I mean, in his head, he thought it was perfect, but it clearly had a lot of problems in it. And the book really does touch on all the different things that we know from BioShock 1 and 2 and all the different people, and it redoes a lot of the voice recordings that we remember from those games. So I highly recommend the book if you're looking for more information.
Awesome.
But I mean, yeah, the burial at sea, obviously I'm sad to see the whole thing come to an end.
Yeah.
Not only, the story, but also Irrational Games. I'm very sad that they won't be doing it anymore.
Tundra Gosa in the chat room says, spoiler, Andrew dollars equals dog coin.
Yeah, right?
That's awesome.
Back to the day.
Bitcoin.
Use my money.
Oh, yeah. So what you were saying earlier, Kim, about trying to understand what was going on in Burial of Sea Part 2, I actually went out and found a really good explanation for it. And we'll talk about it at the end. And I was like, oh, okay, I remember. Oh, I remember that recording that I picked up. Okay, that makes sense. And that connects with that. And okay, that makes sense. Why that happened. What was really kind of disheartening, though, was seeing the internet hate on this game for a game that I really enjoy and love. And, it's just people like what they like. And it's games. It's just like movies.
Yeah.
You're going to have their... But there was one post in particular that was just ripping it apart. Like, it's no, what was it? Something Shock. It was a game I've never played. It's an older game.
System Shock.
System Shock
is the precursor to BioShock.
Okay.
Right? That's what Irrational Games made before BioShock.
Okay.
So System Shock.
So everybody was just in this comment thread, just... It's no System Shock.
Whatever.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
To them, it was a bad thing.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, I think that's, when you have this game that you've loved in the past and something comes along and it just doesn't, you've got an expectation of it.
Right.
And, I think me and you are probably like this with Fallout. I have an expectation of the next Fallout game. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't meet like all those, I'm going to be disappointed.
Right.
Now, I'm probably a little more rational, so I won't, you know, go off and hate all over the internet about it, but I'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
But there's others who are disappointed and, you know, they just have to, you know, tell everybody about it.
So right. this is the same experience that I think kids have with the Star Wars movies. And in fact, because I do Nerd Parents, I listen to a lot of kids' music, and there's a song out there called "Why Is Dad So Mad?" And it's, "Why is Dad so mad about Star Wars?" And the song goes through and talks about all the points, like Jar Jar Binks, and it's a young kid, you know, singing this, you know, from the perspective of a young kid, like, "I don't understand. I love Jar Jar, and I don't understand this." And, you know, and he's talking about his dad and his mom just being about, you know, episode one, basically. And it's from their perspective. To them, it's a great little movie. But yeah, for people that have these high expectations, they have their nostalgia. They have their past. Yeah. It's an interesting thing to witness how people react to that. So,
well, I think I'm going to be that way with Shroud of the Avatar that's coming out, because it's a kind of a remake of Ultima 4.
Oh.
And although Ultima 4 wasn't my favorite in the series, Ultima 7 was, I've still got very, very high expectations of it. And I'm like, I'm almost to the point that I'm like, okay, I've got to do what I do with a lot of games and just put everything aside and take the game for what it is.
Right. Right.
That's so hard to do.
It is.
Yeah. Can I tell you one of my favorite parts of this part two was listening to some of the things that the mobs or the NPCs were saying as, you know, as I was sneaking around and getting ready to knock them out. And by the way, I did finish the game without killing anyone.
You did.
There was no achievement for it. So when I replay it to go get the missing recording that I couldn't find.
You're just going to kill everybody.
I'll just be killing them. Yeah, I'll just be killing them.
There should have been an achievement, I think.
There should have been. But yeah. I mean, I preferred the crossbow because it was quiet. It didn't alert anybody when I, you know, like a gunshot. But yeah, there was no achievement for not killing anybody. But so one of the things... One of the things that I loved was listening to what they were muttering to themselves as you were walking around. And the one guy was like, "Did she even see how I cleaned the bathroom? It was like so clean. You could eat off the floor."
I remember that.
All right, buddy.
And then there was a woman, and she was talking about, I think it sounded like she was talking about her son. Mm-hmm. And she was saying something to the effect, "He doesn't know. He just doesn't know what I give up." And
yes, I remember that one.
There was one woman talking about keeping loose women away from her son, and then she goes, "That woman, she's just a cooch with legs." I was like, there you go. All right.
Oh no.
Nice.
Ouch.
Thanks.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, it's awesome. Funny because you're sneaking so much, you do have an opportunity to kind of listen to that.
Yes.
In fact, Scott Johnson sent me a link to 3 of the songs that's in this Burial Sea Part 2, and one of my favorites was the pie song. Mm-hmm. And when you come off the elevator, there's a guy sitting there playing a guitar.
Yes.
And he's singing, you know, "Why, if Ryan has a slice of that pie, why can't I?" And it's just a cool song. And then the other two songs is like a propaganda song for the little sisters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another one for, it's like a jingle for Old Man Winter. So I'll put a link in the show notes to those songs because they're really fun. I think they're on SoundCloud or something. Yeah, SoundCloud is where they posted them. So good stuff. So Kim, I have to know about Goat Simulator. We talked about it last week.
Right.
And you said you were going to play it. Is it as ridiculous as it seems?
It's probably more ridiculous. Okay. Nice. It really is more ridiculous than I thought it was going to be. I mean, of course, you get in and you start walking around as a goat, but the game is broken.
Oh,
and
is it?
They tell you that there. This game is broken. It's full of bugs.
So don't Daisy told me that too. Remember that?
Yes, yes. And so you can, you know, you start out and you know, jump over stuff and you kick stuff and you lick stuff. And, you know, you're doing all this, you know, kind of walking around and being careful. And probably about 5 minutes into the game, I'm blowing up gas stations. I'm running over, you know, mobs of people. I'm throwing huge boulders down the side of the thing, the side of the hill to kill a bunch of partiers. I mean, it is like mass destruction, and it is fun mass destruction.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And they have all these little golden goats that are all around the place that you can pick up. And what that does is it gives you the ability to change the type of goat that you are. So I got one, and I was a giraffe. So I went from being a goat to a giraffe, and I picked up, and you know, they've got really tall necks, and when you lick something, sometimes it'll stick. And like, so you're carrying this thing around in your mouth. So I'm walking down the street as a giraffe, and I'm like got a bicycle in my mouth or a car in my mouth or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
It was great. And then you can go up and you can be taken by aliens. You can become the queen of all goats when you find the hidden castle.
That's my wrestler name. I'm officially claiming the queen of all goats.
Queen of all goats.
If ever in the WWE, there's my wrestling name.
That's your name. You can. I mean, this game has a lot of stuff to do. So it was built to test physics is what the purpose of it was. And they're like, this is great. We're going to release it. There's a part where you find this demonic circle, like an offering type place. And you're like, ooh. And so I streamed this weekend with James Bartholomew. And so he was doing it on one side and I was doing it on the other. And the chat room is telling us, oh, yeah, just, you know, drag five people into that circle and see what happens. So I drag five dead people into the circle, and all of a sudden, they go up in the air and they start spinning around like some demonic thing. And then I became a devil goat.
Nice. Nice.
And they each have their own special things. Like there's a Yoshi goat. So the Yoshi goat can eat people or eat things, and then it spits out like watermelon things that explode behind you. It is so funny. I mean, there is so many stupid, ridiculous things to do in this game. And I've logged over 3 hours already on
it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Nice. I pulled it up for the guys at work today to show them. And I'm like, wow, I played this game for over 3 hours? That's ridiculous.
It's not that buggy. I was playing on the night that I was playing Elder Scrolls. I couldn't even stay in the game for 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. No, the game is fine. It's just like you get stuck in a lot of places or the physics doesn't work, so you got to respawn. That's right. The kind of bugginess it is. It never crashed on me. But and you get lots of achievements. Like when you blow up the gas station, you get the Michael Bay achievement. It just boom, boom.
You mean he just doesn't everywhere. He doesn't stop and just walk off stage?
Oh,
it blows up behind him.
That would all be dramatic. Hilarious. Oh. Yeah. But honestly, it's really funny. And the achievements that they give you are funny. And what's cool, too, is you just get massive points for doing nothing. Oh, wow. And so all of a sudden you do the ragdoll. You know, you can just do the ragdoll and you're all limp and you get points for
like
it.
Oh, Saints Row 4, right?
Yep. Just like Saints Row 4.
Nice. Yep,
exactly. And so
my favorite parts.
I mean, seriously, I know you guys would, if you played it, you would be like, oh, this is great. This is great. Nice. I paid $10 for it, $9.99. And I don't feel like it's wasted money. Nice. I actually had a lot of fun with it.
And it's so on the Humble Bundle store was promoting it too.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember though. Did they say if you buy it, some of the money goes towards charity or something? Yeah, well, Humble Bundle. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if it's on, if you get it through Humble Bundle, I imagine. I bought it through their website because I pre-ordered it, mm-hmm. So I could get early access. One of the guys at work is like, "You pre-ordered Goat Simulator? Are you crazy?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's crazy." That's so- but yeah, I would recommend it. If you want to wait till it's on sale, that's cool. But it's still only $10. Yeah, it's not like it's that much. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the Stick of Truth to go down. I want to play that game, but I don't want to pay $60 for it.
I don't either.
But I probably had as much fun playing this as a lot of games.
Excellent.
So, 10%. So if you get it on the Humble Bundle store, 10% of it goes to charity. So.
Very nice.
A dollar will go to charity.
Very nice.
$1.
So, Steph, you told us last time you were going to play Second Son, Infamous Second Son. Has it captured you? Are you hooked?
Yes. Actually, this game is actually a lot of fun. And I think I need to go on record that I have purchased a not mature game, but a game rated T for teens.
Really?
It's not. I figured it would be a mature game, but it's not.
I would think it would be too.
Yeah, there's no violence. I mean, really. I mean, well, okay, so let me back this up. All right, so you have the choice of how you play this game, whether you take the good side or the evil side. Now, obviously, I will play as the good side. I never play as the evil side, so that would attribute to why I see no people dying, like no bloodshed or decapitations or anything like that. But as we've talked about before, I did not play we played a little bit of the last Infamous, but I'm not a huge fan of the series. So take this for what it's worth. This is Infamous Second Son. It's a whole new character. Mm-hmm. Cole is not in this. This is his name is Delson. And who is he voiced by? Troy Baker,
yay,
of course.
Troy Baker.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's a big plus. That's a big Troy plus. Baker.
Yeah, so a lot of the dialogue is very upbeat. There's a lot of jokes flying around. The interaction between the main character and his brother is hilarious. The idea is that you have the ability to absorb powers from other conduits. Conduits, think of them like X-Men, right? Everybody, they all have special abilities. Well, I have the ability to clone it and have that for myself as well. And you, at the very beginning of the game, you choose whether you want to use your powers for good or evil. So throughout the game, when you encounter someone, like say a guard, you have the choice of subduing them, good points, or executing them, bad points. And then you build up your skills by picking up, power boosts throughout the game. And it's actually a lot of fun. You have to free districts of the city from the influence of the DUP, which is like the, you know, the
Dup.
Every time I see it, I want to say dupe. But let's call it the DUP. So those are the guys meant to, you know, collect, round up the conduits and imprison them, essentially.
Right.
There's a big massive plot going on in the background, and you do meet other conduits with different powers. So you do pick up different ones besides the one that you've got. So it's actually a lot of fun. I'm having a good time. Cool. I'm stuck on a boss right now, but he's frustrating.
What level are you playing? Like just regular mode or?
Yeah, just normal.
Normal.
According to the percentage, I'm 40% done with the game. So,
you know what game that seemed to be broken in is Assassin's Creed Black Flag. The percentage thing was kind of off.
It doesn't seem to move a lot.
Yeah.
And then it'll move more and than then you it think was it's like, going to move. And you're like, what?
Wait, I'm done?
Exactly. So, yeah, I was kind of just following the storyline, which I think is why it's reading its 40%. I have not unlocked a lot of the city districts, so I still have to go back and do those. But
cool.
So do you, I mean, I didn't get this game. I was thinking about getting it, but mm-hmm. then I'm like, that's a lot of money to spend, and I don't know if I'm going to enjoy the game. So
mm-hmm. you should just rent it on Redbox.
Well, yes. The Redboxes that are by my house don't do PS4 yet.
Somebody needs to email us and tell us where these PS4 red boxes are, because they're on their website that they have PS4 games. And that's one of them, Infamous Second Son. So where are they?
I've gone to two of them by my house, and neither of them do PS4 games yet. They both do PS3 games, but not PS4.
Yeah.
Well, that stinks.
But seriously, I have never seen a more beautiful city than this game. It will knock your socks off when you see how gorgeous this game really is. It is, it is really unbelievable. I mean, the rain and the sunshine and the buildings and the people. And of course, since I'm playing good, the people like me. So I'm running down the street and this people are like, "Hey man, you're awesome. Get that man a cape." This one girl's like, "I want to have your baby." I was like, "Oh, wow. Throw some love at me. All right, let's go." You can fast travel around, but the main methods are using your special abilities. Like the first one you get is smoke, where you just kind of shoot forward and you can actually go through gates and whatnot as smoke. And then you get like this later on, this neon ability where you kind of shoot around like neon lights. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Oh, cool.
It's very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Well, speaking of PlayStation 4, it's April now.
Yes.
And there's some new games on the PlayStation Plus free download. So be sure, if you haven't downloaded your games for March, which I haven't, I need to log in. Borderlands 2 is going away on for April 8th. And in fact, the way we're doing this now, it might be already passed by the time you listen to this. Sorry. But the live people, if you're listening live, which you should be on Alpha Geek Radio, you can still download Borderlands 2. In April, you can download Mercenary Kings for the PS4. And mm-hmm. if you still have PS3, you can download Batman Arkham City for free.
Yeah.
So
seriously, I think the PS4 is getting the short end of the stick on this.
Right now
PlayStation
Plus. It is, but eventually it won't. It's just a migration. So
yeah, and that's what I'm not upset about it yet, because I know that eventually it's going to be totally worth it. But yeah, right now I'm like, I get on my my PlayStation Plus account, and I'm like,
when's Now supposed to be coming out?
I don't know, Steph. You're in the
beta, aren't you?
The what?
The Now beta?
Oh no,
I thought you said you were.
Well, I signed up for it, but I haven't gotten any confirmation.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I signed up and they accepted me, but
I will go get that recording.
Nothing since then. So,
all right,
I'm clueless so far.
We have a little bit more news. Actually, we don't, like we said, no iPhone games. We've all been kind of. I'm still playing the same stuff that I've been playing. Still playing Disco Zoo. Still playing SpongeBob. Oh, I started playing my Muppets game again on my iPad, because the new Muppets Most Wanted movie came out and they updated it with a whole new stage and new characters and new items.
Oh, that's cool.
So I started playing my Muppets iPhone game, or no, iPad game again. I'm still
I got tired of Disco Zoo because I like.
You maxed it out like in a week.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like.
Pace yourself.
150 things for every single thing. And I'm like, well, this isn't any fun anymore.
Yeah. See, so. I'm not even close. I'm pacing myself on that game.
Yeah.
Amazon Fire was announced. Amazon Fire TV was announced just this week. And I decided to pick one up. And because not only do I want to see how the streaming aspects of it was, I'm curious about the games. And Kotaku has an article. There are 95 games on the Amazon Fire TV that can be played right now. So I get my Amazon Fire tomorrow, and I have a feeling it might be replacing my Roku.
Nice.
So I will be checking that out. But some of the games that you can play are like Despicable Me, looks like Minion Run.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cute little game. Badlands, which is, we've talked about that game on the show. It's a really cool game.
Mm-hmm. So it looked like a lot of good games on here.
They list out the free games. They have 99-cent games, dollar games. Let's see. What's the highest? It looks like $7.99 is the most expensive, and it's the NBA 2K14. I won't be playing that. That's okay.
Mm-mm.
But you can play Minecraft Pocket Edition. That's $6.99. So you can play Tetris, $4.99.
So are you going to be playing this with a controller?
I was going to pick up the controller, but I didn't know what games, and I just found this article today. Had I known the list of games, I probably would just said, just throw the controller in.
So is it just a Bluetooth controller,
it's just
a wireless controller?
It's just a little remote. because you can still play games with – just like with the Roku, you can play like Angry Birds with the remote. As they pitch in their video, for the more serious gamer, you can get the $40 controller.
All right, then.
So, yeah.
$40 controller for a $99.
Serious Roku gamer.
When the controller is 40% of the cost of the console.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'll try it with, like I said, I'm going to try it out with the little remote first and see. Because I have so many other devices. I have a lot of these games already on my iPad.
Exactly. Right?
Honestly, I was just going to try it out just for the show. But
So it's like the Ouya, you know.
Yeah,
I had most of those games too. That it or any of the games I wanted to play, I already had them. I'm like, Ouya,
you know, the Ouya was great for someone that wants to just tinker with a system like that. So I gave mine to Brian Dunaway because he loves to mess with mods. He just likes to get into that stuff. So he ended up putting like XBC on it and turning it into like a little server. I was like, go Brian, I'm too lazy for that.
Right.
I'm a plug and play kind of gal.
Exactly. Shoot me a link when you're done.
Yeah, right.
I'll check it out.
And then Steph, did you put this link?
I did.
What is this?
So
is this an infograph? Is this what you were talking about earlier?
The infograph of, according to Valve, who obviously owns Steam, what percentage of people actually play the games they buy from Steam versus play them to at least 50% versus actually finish them? Mm. And it's the numbers aren't good.
Well, we kind of know this just from our own experience.
None of this surprises me whatsoever. I went through this whole thing and I'm like, nope, none of it surprises
me. Didn't surprise me. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
So say, for the average gamer, 77.8% actually play the game that they bought, but only 42% get to about 50%, and only 29% actually finish the game.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. Steam has these amazing sales, and they do these bundles, and I get games, I'm like, I want...
Never going to play that.
I want the other game that's in that bundle, and it's like I'm getting a game for free.
Right.
So...
or... what, this game's $2? Oops, all right, I'll buy it.
Right.
I've done a lot of that. But my favorite statistic was that BioShock Infinite actually had the highest percentage of people who actually played the game, which was 89.5%.
So you mean there are people out there that have bought that game?
And have never played it. I have a coworker who is 10%.
Bought a game, BioShock Infinite, and didn't actually even play it. Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just waiting for that gaming weekend.
And then, of course, on this infograph, I was very proud that Dead Island, I finished that dang game. I went back and I finished it. So there you go. I'm one of the few.
One of the few, yes.
I think it's hilarious that they say too scared to play. I don't think that was the answer or the reason.
I tell you, the one that shocked me was that 49% of the people never got to the end of Tomb Raider.
Oh.
The new Tomb Raider. That one shocked me the most.
That was a really great game.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's a great game. Why would you not have finished that? Why have you not gone to the end? I mean, not even getting 100%, just actually seeing the end of it.
This is for Scott Johnson. He's a huge fan of roguelike games. 9.9% of players finished Rogue Legacy.
Dude, there's no way I could finish that.
That
game gives me a headache.
16% of Binding of Isaac players finished. And then 22.9% players, wait a minute. Why is this a?
It says two times.
Two times, and then nine times. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't even finish it one time.
Yeah. And then, okay, so there was the other one about the Walking Dead game, season one. Who are you that you own this and never saw the end? I do not understand you.
You're talking to her. You're talking to me.
No, season one? You never saw the end? You know how season one ends.
No, I don't.
I thought you lost your save.
I lost my save and I didn't go back to it. And I just piggybacked on top of Mark's game.
I see. I see. I thought honestly, it like E and then lost it.
No,
or you finished it on another system. I actually finished it on my iPad.
Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't finish it on my PS3.
No, I didn't finish it.
So
I just got too frustrated with it. Yeah.
And just as a side, you can Steam publishes these. You can go into Steam and just get so many statistics that are just. This is nice because it gives you a nice, pretty picture. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know,
otherwise you get Steam, it's not numbers, it's
not pretty pictures. But it's really interesting stuff. Cool. Very interesting. So, and my favorite one is only 4.9% of people finished Fallout New Vegas on hardcore mode. Hardcore mode, and I'm one of them.
Yay!
Yes. Okay, but nice. I kind of did it the cheating way, and you could do it the cheating way too. And it only took like 2 hours to do.
I'm going to try that too because now you've convinced me to try to go for that 100% achievement on Fallout New Vegas.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm going to try. It's hard, but I'm going to try.
And then there's our Skyrim number.
What's that?
Only 32% have actually finished the main quest, despite it being the most played game for 2 years running.
Oh, wow.
Only 32%, because it doesn't force you to.
Right.
Like, I already had like 160 hours in the game before I finished the main quest line, because I was just doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. I was farting around doing other stuff, so there you go.
Farting around. and then, just FYI, we're big fans of the Wolf Among Us game on this show. And episode 3, the trailer came out, which means the release date is soon.
It's April 8th.
Is it April 8th? Okay.
Yes,
so
next Tuesday.
So when you're listening to this, because we record, it'll be one day behind you. So it'll be out. So be sure to go download it.
Jump on it. April 8th.
The trailer's out there. If you haven't played the first and second episodes yet, don't watch the trailer because it will definitely spoil things for you.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited. What were you gasping about? Are you gasping?
I'm excited. I'm excited. Very excited.
All right. So if you're still in the chat room listening to us, I'm going to give away a game. We have a Fallout. No, sorry. I'm thinking too much Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout on the brain.
Fallub on Steam actually messaged me and said, hey, I have a Civ 5 key to give away if you'd like. So he gave me a Humble Bundle link. And if you're in the chat room and you don't have Civ 5 and you've been itching to waste away a good chunk of your time, just private message me. In the chat room. I'm Nicole Spag in the chat room, so you can just, it's an IRC chat room, and if you're listening to this going, how in the world do I get into the chat room? We use the Frog Pants chat room on IRC, and you can find all the information on that at lazelyelite.com/live. Nice. Links to different IRC chat clients, as well as how to actually log into the chat room. So we're still going to be hanging out just a little bit longer, so as the chat room here's my invite. They can message me and I'll send them a Civ 5 free game. Yay! Nice. We love free games. We don't have any emails, but I do have a voicemail.
Ooh.
And this is from our friend Eric Mailer. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hello, ladies. Eric here. I just wanted to let you know that I think Ladies of Leet is great. I like hearing about video games from a woman's perspective. It's always interesting to me and educational. Also, just aside from all of that, I like hearing the three of you talk to each other. I think you all are pretty cool people, and you often play games that I'm interested in. So, yeah. Thanks for the awesome show, and keep it coming. Bye-bye.
Oh, Eric, thank you for throwing us a bone.
Yes, thank you.
He has the cutest kids in the world. Holy cow, he's got adorable kids. I love watching him, you know, post his stuff on Facebook and his little vines and stuff.
Eric is a big part of the Frog Pants community, and he has a podcast himself called Mr. Mom Daily. He's a stay-at-home dad, and he's one of the parents on Nerd Parents with me. Yes. So thanks, Eric. We love you too, Eric.
Yes, we love you.
All right. So, look at that. Tondragosa Here we go. I give you the Steam key there. Woo-hoo! So congrats. Oops. Congrats, you don't want the image that we were just talking about, the infograph. I got to get that.
Well, I mean, hey, it's interesting.
There you go. Have fun.
All right.
All right. So I think that does it for our show. Before we wrap up, just a big thanks to Slash Loot for hosting our t-shirts over there. So we have Lazy Elite t-shirts. There's all kinds of t-shirts over there. So if you head on over to slashloot.com, you can check them all out. There's sales that run over there all the time too. And in fact, we also want to thank Doghouse Systems. And in fact, they came out, you guys just launched a new website, right?
Yep, we launched our website on April 1st. yeah. But we have our special editions in there now, and you can go see the Ladies Elite special edition up there, which I think it actually looks the best.
Oh, I think we're a little, you might be a little.
Yeah, partial. I'm probably a little.
There's some awesome stuff up there. I'm a big fan of the Mary Varn, the little kitty cats.
Oh, is that not amazing?
I love it. It's so cute.
So Mary Varn. And we have April Ness up there, who is a Viking lass.
Yep.
Got to go. She's got amazing work. And then Podcasters Galore.
Final
and
score.
We've got much, much more artwork coming in the future. So I think it'll be really cool.
Yeah. So head on over to doghousenetwork.com and check out all those systems.
Doghouse Systems.
What did I say?
Doghouse Network.
Well, you put Doghouse Network in the show notes.
I'm sorry. Doghouse Systems. I'm sorry.
It's like Anchorman. We just read whatever's in front of us.
I'm terrible. I don't even know my website.
Like, I was like, well, I thought it was a new website. So,
yeah, is it new? All right.
I wonder what is it? So I wonder what it goes to.
Doghouse Network is our WordPress site.
We
do a lot of our blog posts on.
Okay. So it's not like I told a bad address. It's just
it's not. You can go to Doghouse Network and we will be there.
You just won't find the systems.
Right away.
And in fact, be sure if you're interested in a system, number one, you can always contact Kim. But if you use the code LADIES, you'll get double the memory on your system as well as a free t-shirt. That's still going on, right?
Out the show. Yeah, that's still going on. You can still get that, and we would appreciate it.
Awesome.
Nice.
And thank you to Todd over at Alpha Geek Radio for letting us squat on his on his live streaming server. I just noticed he put up a Patreon page. I use Alpha Geek all the time, so he set it up to where if you do want to support and listen to us and the other shows on Alpha Geek Radio, you can do that and support the infrastructure, which is, it's amazing. I've talked to him a number of times about it over there. So head on over to alphageekradio.com and check out all the awesome shows. And if you want to get a hold of us or leave us a voicemail, Stephanie's going to tell you how.
That's right. Well, okay, so we have the amazing website, ladiesofleet.com, which has that super cool fly out on the side where you can click on it.
That's what
and
Eric
leave
used.
Us a voicemail.
Yeah, that's what Eric used.
Yeah, exactly. You can see it works, clearly.
Clearly. We're not lying.
You can shoot us an email at ladiesofleet@gmail.com, or you can follow all of us on Twitter. Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is just Kim Molly, JustKimolly, and myself, XIAXIAN1.
Very awesome. So that does it for our show. Kim, Stephanie, thanks for hanging out and chatting about video games.
Is it spoiler time?
Oh, not yet. We have to say bye and do a little laugh.
Okay. All right.
So bye.
Bye.
Bye. Now it's spoiling time.
All right, spoiler time.
All right, guys. So if you're listening to this on Alpha Geek, just FYI, we're going to talk about Burial at Sea Part 2. We're going to talk about actually all of BioShock.
Yeah.
We're assuming that you've played or you don't care that we're talking about it. So you've been warned.
If you, then
skedaddle.
Yes.
Because we're going to talk.
And if you're listening, if you're taking a shower and you have this on and you're like, no, no.
We're sorry.
But we got to spoil this. We have to talk about it because my mind was like, what? Mm-hmm. At the end of BioShock the Burial at Sea Part 2. So first things first, when you kind of wake up as Elizabeth in the beginning of Part 2, you're not really sure what's going on and why you're there because you don't. You have your pinky back. Your pinky hasn't been severed. And you find yourself dead.
Correct.
And
well, okay, but at first you don't. I mean, it took, 5 or 10 minutes to find yourself dead.
Right. It builds up to that.
When I first found myself dead, I cried a little. It was kind of like,
sad, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm dead.
But then, you're like,
I actually felt it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, I don't understand.
Yes.
Like, and I played the entire thing through going, I still don't know why I'm here. I still don't know how I'm here.
Right.
And it wasn't until the game was done and I, like I said, I went on to the BioShock wiki and I started reading a theory and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I remember picking up an audio recording of the female Lutece talking about how the male version missed being whole again, and how he was considering going back and becoming whole again. But if they did that, because you found that recording when you were going through the big clock and trying to get into Fink's lab, and that didn't make any sense at the time. But later on, when I kind of put the two together, it was like, okay, so once you've kind of elevated to the state of knowing everything, you can choose to become whole again, but you forget everything you know.
Okay, so the theory that I was working on is, okay, so why is she back, right?
Right.
What is the driving force of why is she back?
Sally.
And it's guilt. It's guilt for Sally, for what she did to Sally. Yes. So she's trying to make it right, but she has deliberately chosen to come back in a timeline where she is dead. That's what causes her to be human, essentially, to have her finger back and to not have the ability to open the tear. She's lost her interdimensionality by deliberately coming back to where she is dead.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Do you remember
that
when
she came?
I knew she came back, but
I didn't realize. Yeah, and I remember the boat, but I never caught that she specifically came to a specific time or dimension.
Yeah, chose that and she knew what was going to happen. That's why she was just so get it over with. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
So she had
that makes sense now. Okay. Yeah.
If you think of it as when we look at the end of BioShock Infinite, when she got rid of all the comm stocks, or she thought.
Yeah.
What she didn't know at the time was one had escaped to Rapture. So she, in part one of Burial at Sea, deliberately uses Sally as bait, gets him, you know, to go down into the sunken part of Fontaine's department store. And once he understands who he is, she kills him. So now she has essentially completed what she started out to do, which was undo everything that Comstock did. Now she's like, what do I do? Go back and fake Paris and party till I die? No, she's going to make amends for the wrong she did
to Sally
and kill herself, essentially.
And
she knows, and she's going to.
Yeah. She knows she's dead in that time.
Right. So, and by going back,
she makes herself whole.
Right.
And thus forgets everything and all the doors.
Right.
But she actively chose to do that to save the little, because she knows what's going to happen.
Right.
If she brings Fontaine up, it starts the cycle of BioShock. And that's why I was like, oh my God, I got to play BioShock now, because that's completing the cycle again.
Exactly.
So if she hadn't been there, BioShock wouldn't happen.
Right.
Oh my God.
I was intrigued by what you had said about how they talked about the plasmids versus the injectables, you know, and I still didn't get why Columbia chose the drink. I understand why Rapture chose the injection, because it was less expensive for them. Mm-hmm. It was 10 times the amount of atoms.
You found the board.
To make a drinkable.
Yeah, the board. Did you see the
map. That was the only explanation I could think of for why they chose to do that. I mean, but still, it doesn't really make sense. When you consider how much like, of a penny pincher Fink was,
right? But
why would he deliberately throw away 10 times?
No. The drinkable ones, that was in Comstock, in Infinite.
Yes, that's Columbia.
Yeah, that's Columbia. Yeah, so they gave them the technology, right? And they said, no, we're going to do injectables instead of, we're going to save money.
Right. No. So if you go by the book, right?
Oh, is it book? Okay.
So if you go by the book as canon, Tannenbaum, the woman who we first meet in BioShock 1, mm-hmm. she is actually the one who discovers the sea slug, and she discovers what its potential is. And I think a lot of people mistake that they think Ryan is the one who invented the plasmids. He did not. Mm. It was actually Tannenbaum who had the idea, but she couldn't get funding from Ryan. He said, no, it doesn't make sense. So Fontaine is the one who came up to her and said, I will give you all this money, and you make it. And then Suchong came in with the whole, Big Daddy and the
freaking Suchong, mental, man.
I know, he's an asshole.
Was his death not awesome?
I love seeing. Yeah. I love. and in fact, I want to go, because I can't remember if you pick up a lot of those recordings up in BioShock, and I'm mm-hmm. I can't remember. Do you find him in BioShock?
Yes. Well. Yeah, particularly you get his recordings, but that puppy one is very, I remember that very clearly.
Yeah.
The puppy one is in BioShock 1.
So yeah, it's just,
he trains the kid to. Yeah, but Tannenbaum is the one who discovers that the sea slugs only replicate in girls, little girls. So I didn't understand, again, why, if Fink was such a penny pincher like we know he is,
right.
why would he deliberately choose a method that consumes 10 times as much atom when he doesn't have sisters?
Fink didn't.
He did.
When?
There was a big chalkboard where they said injectables and then the drinks. And they have a big X across the drinks. So they're like, that takes 10 times as much atom.
But there's no drinks in Rapture. Absolutely not.
What I'm saying. Columbia has the drinks.
Right.
Rapture has the injectables.
But Fink,
why did Columbia go with the drinks?
Yeah, Fink is in Columbia. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm getting the characters confused.
So, well, and this Rapture, one did get it confused, right? Going back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, going back and forth
tear
between, yeah.
and stuff that was confusing. So Rapture, not confusing, but.
Yeah. Rapture had the little sisters, the Atom Factories.
Right.
So they had the justification to do 10 times as much, but they didn't. Columbia has no little sisters, and they have no method of generating all these sea slugs. Why would they choose that? I don't get that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna get hung up on it. I'm gonna look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, to nitpick those things, and those I'm like, I don't understand cares? That.
Makes no sense to me.
So does that make more sense, Kim?
Oh, it does, and especially now that I realize that she went back to that. Place on
knowing.
Purpose.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah. I knowing always knew as she was going through it that she was going to die at the end. I just had that feeling.
Oh,
and just from what she was saying and kind of just her whole mission and the way she talked with Booker, you know, I mean, I got that.
The torture scene at the end. Holy God.
Oh my Lord. Yes. With the ice pick.
I had my headphones on and I'm like, Mark is like, what's wrong with you? Like, I just can't tell you. You got to play the game.
I was like hiding my eyes
too.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No. And yeah, you know, I was like crazy. Doing that finger thing where you look through your fingers.
Yeah.
I was literally doing that.
It was crazy.
Like, no.
Which, you know, I don't like those kinds of scenes, but I have to say it brought me to a place that when the final scene happened, it was just so, and the little girl, and I was just like, oh, I could cry right now talking about it. It was really intense.
It was very intense.
Especially if you did play BioShock 1, saving all the little sisters, if you didn't harvest them. I can't imagine, you know, harvesting them. That just
I did
so
harvest. I did harvest them the first time through.
Oh.
That's the crazy thing.
You didn't regret that? I mean,
I just wanted to try something different. And yeah, I harvest them.
And how did Tannenbaum react to that? It couldn't have been very nicely.
Well, what, you know, the ending of if you harvest them, because you get a different ending.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, how was your ending?
It was,
I mean, obviously, I saved them.
Not all. Good. It yeah. wasn't. It wasn't the little girls go off. It was, if I remember correctly, I think they took me down or something. Like, so, it was not good. It was not a good ending.
I did read someplace that the little girl at the end, you know, that is rescued by Elizabeth, is actually one of the girls seen at the end of the original BioShock and the good ending that he takes up to the surface.
Oh, goodness.
And is raised as his daughter.
Right.
Yeah, he actually raises, I think, 4 or 5 of the little sisters as his daughters. Like, you actually see shots of them getting married, like him being at their weddings.
That's right.
Yeah, it's actually quite sweet, the ending. Yeah. So, but I still keep thinking, what if she hadn't given him the ace in the hole? Like, what
she
would
had
that
to
change?
She but had if to. She didn't,
if she didn't, he would be stuck at the bottom.
Right. And the little sisters would never be free.
But the little sisters would not propagate either. Right. I mean, he was stuck in a prison. He was in Fontaine's sunken building
with the little
sisters.
There
was no way for him to get to regular rapture without her help. But she raised the building and gave him the code.
Right.
So that he could continue and do the dirty work.
No, she gave him the code so he would bring the guy to release the sisters.
Right, but that's only after all the bad stuff happens in BioShock 1. I mean, that only happens at the end.
It was already falling apart. I mean, even Fontaine just accelerated the inevitable of what was happening in Rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick that up as I'm playing through again. I'm listening to some of these recordings, and even with the doctor, the cosmetic doctor, I mean, he was slowly going insane.
Stedman.
Yeah.
Stedman.
And so the world was crumbling. Fontaine just accelerated it. And
she had to put an end to it.
And she wanted to save the sisters. And the sisters would have been there permanently had, his name was John? What was it?
Jack.
Had Jack not came back.
Right. And and taking the good ending.
Right, exactly. So she had to sacrifice herself Fontaine would bring Jack, because Jack would never, the phrase, would you kindly, would have never been known. Thus, Jack would never have crashed the plane and blah, 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 blah. So
it seems like a poor strategy to only have one person know the key phrases.
A little bit, yeah.
What happens if I accidentally die? Oops.
But again, you just don't – I mean, those are the things I just don't think about, you know, because you think about those and
– the whole thing unravels.
Yeah, I don't want to unravel it. I want to enjoy what I have in front of me, you know?
I did love the little scene where the big daddy bonded with the little sisters.
Oh, I did too.
That was because seriously, every time I heard big daddy walking through Rapture, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
His groaning was just torturous to me because, you know, you know that he's essentially lost without the little sisters. And he really is. He needs them to function.
Yep.
And I always had huge sympathy for the big daddies. And then, of course, the handyman was just an abomination.
Oh, yeah.
The handyman's and then Songbird when you go back to Columbia.
Oh,
I was like, please don't.
And then you see the different animals, like the monkey.
Yes.
Oh, that was so sad. The testing.
I know. All the dogs in the stupid tanks.
Ugh. Yeah.
Dang, they were just horrible, horrible people.
Which is why I'm glad that Elizabeth came back and gave Fontaine the code, because just everybody in that area, they were just horrible people.
Yeah, but that was Columbia. That wasn't Rapture. The animal testing was Columbia.
All of them. They're horrible.
It's like, oh, yeah, it's all
Columbia. Yeah, they're all horrible.
Right, it was
Columbia.
But I really did, one of the things I really liked is the way they brought Booker back in, and he was really just a figment of her imagination.
That was
brilliant, though. I mean, and that told you a lot about, you know, where her mind was and, you know, bringing him in was just a way to process have her it. Talk and explain where her mind is at and how she's falling apart. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I mean, she was really at her core. She was incredibly lonely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had no one to interact with, and he was honestly the first person to
be kind to talk to her
and be kind to her for no ulterior motive that she knew about. Right. Let's put it that way. Yeah. I mean, he was there to pay back a debt, but once I got past that, he was,
Oh, good stuff. So that's, I think that should wrap up our spoiler zone for BioShock. I'm a little sad.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, really, at the end,
it's done.
Elizabeth is gone.
Yeah.
Comstock's gone. Everybody's Booker's gone. Everybody's gone.
And the little sisters are there. And Jack.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, thank you for listening if you've listened this far. And hope you enjoyed Spoiler Zone.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.